Over to you.
Thanks, Michael. I'm going to talk about migration politics and the city in London. One or two of these slides I've used before, so one or two of you have seen them before. Several of them are new. I just want to begin, because John is about to speak. I just, for my own pleasure, put this little slide together for today, just looking at New York and London, their population, the foreign-born proportion of the population, and indeed, and I'm never quite sure, the way these statistics put together in the US is different, but white alone, as the census calls them, and... Oh, right, thank you. And as compared with white British, and I simply leave you with the fact that these cities do have a great deal in common. London's population, to get to that 45, has gone through this remarkable change. These figures are not consistent, because one has to look at different things in the past and now. But if you look at the new Commonwealth population as it was defined in earlier censuses, and then scroll forward to the non-white British figure, that is the other side of the 45% I've just put up, you can see the radical change in the nature of London's population, even aiming off to the fact that these are not strictly comparable over time. Now, we bumped into this, and Christine mentioned it earlier on. Obviously, minority status and migration can't be separated in order to assess voting effects of migration alone. We don't have any data at all about the voting habits of migrants. What we do have are data about the behaviour, voting behaviour, or some voting behaviour of minority groups. And so that's what I'm going to look at as a failed proxy for migration, though clearly the two will be heavily related. We don't have a London-only analysis of the way separate ethnic groups vote, but given London's importance within the British statistics, the national results are inevitably going to tell us something. And of course, the other thing we need to note is that registration and voting behaviour by different ethnic groups does differ substantially. Now, this is actually a figure looking at party political identification rather than voting. Last time I did this presentation or something like it, I looked at voting in the last general election. But what this does is simply to look by a number of ethnic groups. This was taken from a Policy Exchange report published a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. Looks at identification. And what you see is that among Indians, though to a lesser extent, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Black Caribbeans, Black Africans, all heavily identify with Labour, much more than with the Conservatives. Whites, slightly the other way around, which you wonder how the Conservatives never win an election looking at these figures, actually, in London. And then all minorities, well, you can see this sum total there. So amongst the different groups looked at here, apart from whites, and white non-British, according to the British Election Survey, study, are slightly more than white alone to vote Conservative. But you can see here there is a serious challenge for the Conservatives, and in cities like London, a clear advantage for Labour. As I said a moment ago, registration varies substantially, and this must underpin what I've just said. So, partly because of the housing tenure, and the housing tenure is very important in all of this, of different ethnic groups. And white British people are much more likely to be owner-occupiers than all the other groups. They are more likely to be registered, so this tilts the results slightly back the other way, so just worth noting that. I found this slide also in the recent Policy Exchange report, a lot of polling they've done, and this I thought was fascinating. It looks at levels of trust and satisfaction with different political institutions, Parliament, politicians, and the police. What you see is that whites are the top line, 59% of them are satisfied with democracy, and only 34, and I'm amazed it's 34% really with Parliament. Whereas amongst Indians and Pakistanis and Bangladeshis and Black Africans, substantially higher rates of satisfaction with democracy, though not always with Parliament. But for Black Caribbeans, like whites, Black Caribbeans and white populations similar, which is very interesting. Indeed, there are all sorts of possible explainers for that. We'll just park the thought for now, because I must move on. Now, the BES analysis suggests that migration, or at least minority status, will be associated with different registration and voting patterns. White voters more likely to vote and more likely to vote Conservative. Other white, which is in the BES study, which I haven't put up today, are significantly more likely to vote Conservative, which is another interesting leading indicator. That is, the other white, that's white non-British voters, are more likely even than white British voters to vote Conservative. Most other ethnic and national groups are less likely to vote, but much more likely to vote Labour. The Liberal Democrats appear to do relatively well amongst Pakistani voters. Now looking at, this is some work done by Trevor Phillips, who's going to be visiting us to speak on the panel at the end. Richard Weber, which was referred to earlier. Just looking at, in the European elections, where the political parties got their votes from. So Labour, they're 27, of their votes, 27% of Labour's votes from white British in London. This is in London, 3% from white other, 70% from visible minorities. The Conservatives, 80% from, and UKIP, 80% from white British, 7% from white other, only 13% from visible minorities. So this is just reinforcing what I've just said, the extraordinary difference between the propensity of visible minority, as these researchers are calling them, voters to vote for the Labour Party and the Conservatives and UKIP on the other hand. And this is just looking at the same thing in a slightly different way. So there you see Labour got 37% of the votes in London in the European elections, and from visible minorities, 26 percentage points of those 37%, 10 from white British, 1 from white other, and you can see for the Conservatives there, a very different pattern. So, and for UKIP indeed, so it's just the same thing looked at in a similar way. Now, the other thing that Phillips and Weber suggested, which is interesting, and I'm sure others will want to talk to him perhaps about this later, is that there is a move of votes towards the Conservatives, which is associated, they detect, with demographic shifts of being amongst some visible minority groups from their original areas of settlement to more mixed areas. So, and amongst these visible minority voters who are most likely to change their behaviour, the single largest movement is amongst Labour, what they call deserters, who've moved out of their areas of original settlement. And the largest group of these deserters are of Indian origin and, as they say, of the Hindu religion. So that suggests that as Indians, particularly Hindu Indians, move, following established patterns around London, out and then northwards, they are, according to this analysis, more likely to move away from Labour, shifting towards the Conservatives. And if you go back to some of these earlier figures, you can see in this that Indians, of all minority ethnic, black and minority ethnic groups, are the most likely to vote Conservative. So there's an element of linkage between these two observations, different sources. Just finally, before I move to some conclusions, because I've only got 10 minutes for this, this just compares for London alone, some work done by the GLA, the ethnicity of councillors, MPs, assembly members, as compared with London's adult population. So you can see there that, while 70%, it's actually now lower than that, these were earlier figures, 70% of the London population are defined as white. That's rather below the representation figures for whites, and then of course inevitably the reverse is true down here in terms of both councillors and assembly members and MPs, particularly MPs, as compared with the BAME population. Now, what can we conclude from this? Well, London voting clearly has been affected by migration because of the ethnic or the minority status of many of the migrants who've come to Britain. Therefore, migration indirectly, as read through these statistics, will have affected voting. Within London, there must have been an impact which appears to have helped Labour, at least until now. There's no evidence, in fact, on the basis of recent elections, it looks as if that is likely to have continued to be the case, or reinforced, actually. Minorities, however, are less likely than white British voters to register. and new migrant groups appear to have different voting propensities from existing residents. To which you'd have to add, however, in London, and I haven't put these numbers up at all today, there are very different trends from borough to borough. So in some parts of London, actually, the shift is the other way, indeed in Tower Hamlets, where the Conservatives are doing much better over time, and Labour rather less well over time because of the extraordinary population change in that borough. But in other places, Croydon and Redbridge, which both went to Labour during recent elections, the movement is the other way. So there are substantially different results within these overall citywide figures. And I would be fascinated, given the Phillips Webber results and the other figures here, to see how Harrow in particular changes over time with its large Indian and Hindu populations who might well tack rightwards over, or conservativewards, should we say, over time. Whether left and right, conservative and Labour are meaningful to concepts anymore is another matter for another day. Anyway, finally, without any more satire, it seems to me any short-term impacts of migration are likely, given everything else we know about the way established migrant groups tend or have tended towards the average of the original population over time, you might expect that short-term impacts of migration would eventually weaken as the groups establish themselves over time. Now, I have to say, from some of the earliest migrant groups, you know, the Windrush generation in particular, they haven't so far, intriguingly, but we will see what comes of this in the future. Thank you very much.